This is an oral history interview for the University of Illinois Archives. The interviewer is Ellen Swain. The narrator is Irma Bridgewater, an alumna from the class of 1937. We're at Mrs. Bridgewater's home in Champaign, Illinois, and the date is March 22, 2001. Okay, I think we're set. Wonder if we could start by just telling me what your full name is and when you were born.
Irma Pauline Scott Bridgewater. I was born here in Champaign, November 24th, 1913. Isn't that awful? 1913.
And you say you were born here in town?
Yeah.
What did your parents do for a living? How did they come to Champaign-Urbana?
My dad was born here, too. My mother came to Champaign from Shawneetown, Illinois. Her mother came here to work on campus to cook. They found out that, a lot of people did at that time, that there were good jobs for women cooking on campus. So that was why they came. But my dad was born here, so that's how I got to be here.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had one brother. And my dad worked at the university he started out as a messenger from one building to another. And, of course, as more buildings were built and it grew, it became mail service, so it became a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was primarily black men who had the job, so it was a good job for them.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Was he working at the university when you were in school?
Yeah. I kind of feel like that was one of the reasons they didn't insist that I go to the University of Illinois. I just knew that I just knew that was where I was going. that was decided, I guess, long before, because I just knew that was where I'm going to finish school there.
How important was education to your parents?
Very. My mother had finished first year of high school, and my dad had gone as far as eighth grade, and they just took it for granted that my brother and I were going on. My brother didn't go quite as far as I did. He did finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I went on to college. Well, I wanted to go too, so. No, even in spite of the fact that some of the counselors I had at that time didn't encourage me to take college preparatory courses. They told me I should take another math course because I probably couldn't pass algebra. Well, they didn't say it exactly that way, but we knew that was what they meant. So at that time we took our schedules home to our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents decided that I was going to go to college, so I best take the college preparatory courses. So I took them and I passed.
Mm-hmm.
I got there.
What high school did you attend?
Champaign High School. It was, Champaign High School. There was only one high school here then.
Tell me how many students out of your class went to school during that time. Was there a large percentage of people who went on to college?
Black?
Black or white, both.
I couldn't tell you exactly. I know there were just a very few of us as black. It was a little difficult to go on to college. Telephone. We're saying.
Okay. You were talking about how many students went on to college from Champaign High School.
I really don't know the number, but I know there were at least three of us with the class that I finished with. And it was a little difficult to go because of the fact that it was hard to live the life between being in Champaign and then on campus too. And you almost lost friends when you did go on to college. You know, they were, who does she think she is, and that sort of thing. And you saw they kind of distanced themselves a bit from you. But since we all attended the same churches and so forth.
And you continued to do that through college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that part of it wasn't difficult.
How were your parents able financially during the 30s?
That was tough. My mother took in bundles of washing from some of the fraternities. You know, the boys would gather up their clothes, shirts, and so on. And there were people in town that would wash them and get them back to them. So she did that. Of course, my father was working at the university. He also waited table out in the community and at the country club. I did some work. I worked for on campus for a couple, Reverend and Martin. Yeah, their name was Martin. At a church on campus, and I got a dollar and something, I think, a week or something rather. And one semester they paid my tuition. At that time, tuition was $35.
Mm.
And when it went up to 50, we thought that was terrible. But then another semester, my dad, there was a game here known as policy. In our area, and it was a numbers game, and my dad played it, and he won one time $50, so I went to school on that 1 year. Now that today would be compared to a lottery, but it was illegal when we were doing it back then, but it was gambling nevertheless.
Uh-huh.
But I did go to school on that, and then that was about it. It was a struggle for my parents.
Mm-hmm. You said your brother didn't go on to college. Did other members of your family, or?
No.
You were the first college graduate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you hope to do with your education? What did you major in?
I majored in sociology, and I wanted to teach physical ed, and it didn't go too well. I said my legs got bigger or something or other, and I decided I didn't want to be in it to go along with that. So I went on to decided on sociology, and I wanted to be a probation officer.
Hmm.
That was my ambition at that time. But that wasn't where I ended up.
What did you end up doing?
When I first graduated, my first job was a maid at Newman Hall.
Hmm.
But that was for about a year. But I was determined that I would stay in Champaign. I don't know whether I was chicken or what, but I really didn't want to leave home. So with the help of some other people, when the city of Champaign established the Department of Recreation, they were looking for someone with a degree. And the one that the people that were working there at that time were working WPA, uh-huh. Works Progress Administration. And so I did get the job doing this, knowing nothing at all about recreation, because with a degree in sociology. But they helped me along the way.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any favorite professors when you were in college?
Yeah, and I don't believe I remember his name. He taught algebra, and I got a B in it, and that was something for me, for math. But he was an awfully good teacher, and I'm sorry I don't remember his name. And then I had a woman teacher. I got a decent grade from her. But the one that I remember is one that caused me my most embarrassment, I think most embarrassed moment of my lifetime. And that was Mrs. Rapp. She was an English literature instructor. And when we went to her class, there were two of us, another girl. Now, her name was Barbie. At that time, my name was Scott. And she lined the, to get ready to seat us, she said, had everybody stand around the wall. And she started seating us alphabetically. And she seated, when she got to B, she passed by the girl, Barbie. She got to S, she passed by me. And she left us standing there till the very end, and then she had us to take our seats alphabetically. So I was embarrassed. I was terribly embarrassed, and everybody looking at us. So I went home and told my dad, and since he was at the university, he may have heard of Mr. Lee, Mr. A.R. Lee. So he talked to Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee went to the president. The president went back to the head of the department, and the head of the department called Ms. Rapp in. And, of course, eventually she called us in. And she told us about a lot of things that she had wanted to do in her lifetime she wasn't able to do, and so on. And anyhow, I stayed in the class because I needed it for graduation, and the other girl dropped it. But she said something or other about one of the things that she was worried about was, and this sounds silly now, she didn't know how to play a harp, and she was worried because when she died, she went to heaven, she wouldn't be able to blow out.
And she was telling you that?
Yes. I don't know if she made it or not. I hope she did. But those are the ones that I remember most.
Mm-hmm. How many black students were on campus when you were there?
You know, I need to find that out because I've been asked that before, and I really don't know. That was, of course, I finished in 37, and there weren't too many. But there were some, all right.
Did you feel discrimination at school? I mean, obviously with that class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the other thing that our other problem was that there was no place for us to eat on campus. There were restaurants, but we couldn't eat in them. So what I did, Palmisano had a wagon out in front of the library, and he sold candy and apples, and that was my lunch. A Mr. Good bar and an apple, and take it into the library, to the library restroom, and eat it. But, of course, that didn't last always. It finally changed.
What types of classes did you take? You majored in sociology. Where were some of your other classes? Were those held in University Hall?
Let's see. Yeah, and the natural history, which was east of there, Lincoln and Lincoln Hall, and it had swimming in the women's building. That was on Wright Street. I don't think it is anymore, is it?
The English building now?
No, I took swimming in this building, so it was on Wright Street. I'm sure that's where it was.
Yeah, I think it's mm-hmm. the English building.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, it used to be the women's building.
Yeah.
Women's building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Of course, we had. I didn't go too far east. Well, there weren't too many buildings over that way. That's about where most of my classes were, especially sociology.
What kind of relationship did the students and faculty have? Did you know faculty outside of the classroom, or were you primarily?
No, it was more or less in and out. I remember writing a report one time that one of the instructors called me in about, but she was English history teacher, I think it was. But no, the relationship wasn't anything like it is now.
What do you think that the main strengths or weaknesses of your education have been at the U of I?
Well, I wasn't especially outgoing, so that may have been some of the reason why I didn't know the instructors any better. I don't know, at the time, it seemed all right.
Mm-hmm. Have you been happy with your education?
Yeah.
In later years?
Mm-hmm. I accept that when I finished and I went to work as the only person with a degree who was in charge of people who had already been working in recreation, and they were with WPA, I learned that I had to forget that I had a degree. I always say I swallowed my degree in order to get along with them. And I did, and it made me work hard to get them to like me, which was good for me, mm-hmm. because I gained a lot in having to do that. So that, and then in order to get along with people, there are a lot of people I would say for a long time didn't know that I was a graduate of the University of Illinois. But I say I swallowed it, but then I remind myself of it, you know, every now and then, and just being with it.
Uh-huh. Feeling
because,
good
yeah,
way.
It was
sure.
Such a long time ago, and not too many people did graduate from U of I.
Uh-huh.
So.
What was, you talked a little bit about it, but what was the relationship between the blacks in town and the university?
It was good. It was really good. It was good because, well, they had no place else to go. They were in the churches, they were members of the churches, they attended parties, they were included in things that went on in the community.
You're talking about the black students.
Black students, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were, they had, well, for instance, in our church, Mr. Lee, of course, was he had encouraged them to come into the church, and they sang in the choirs. And in the Lyceum, they took part in Sunday school. So our relationship was fine.
There wasn't competition or?
No. that the thing that when it changed, of course, when they got were able to live on campus. Because of course, before that, they had to live in the community. So it changed after they began to live on campus. And the separation, even the students from here, who live here now, sometimes live on campus. So it's changed.
What was Lee's role?
He was, well, they sometimes called him Dean of Black Students. He was a clerk in the president's office. Mm-hmm. But anytime you had a problem, you could go to him and he would do something about it.
Did he have a lot of power on campus, do you think?
He did with the president and because of his position where he was, and he was the only one around.
So if you had a problem, would you go to him rather than Mariah Leonard, the Dean of Women? Or did you have much dealing with her?
No. Not at all. Mm-mm. No. I would go to Mr. Lee first. And I think that was true of a lot of Black students.
How did the community in town view him? Or did they know him?
Yeah. Yeah, he's quite a part of the community. He was rather high positioned member of the lodge, and he was well liked. Yeah.
Do you remember some of the rules for students on campus?
No. I don't. The rules I would remember would be with the sorority, like having to have a townies, they didn't call us that then, but people who lived in town and were joining the sororities or fraternities, they made sure that we had good averages. I don't know whether they thought maybe we would drop out or what. But they made sure that we had made our grades well before they took us in. So those are primarily the rules that I would remember. But as far as rules of university, I don't know of any. Or at least maybe I've forgotten them. It's been a long time.
What role do you think religion played on campus? Were students active in churches?
They were active in the churches at that time. They were, well, as I said a while ago, they were in the Sunday school, and our church had Sunday school in the afternoon, and it was well attended by students. And the Baptist church had the BYPU, that was in the evenings. And we had what they call Lyceum that they took part in, and they were took part in programs. They were on programs a lot too. So, in fact, I remember one of them teaching me how to sing. I remember singing at church, singing solo, and I sang it, you know, just as it was written with no phrasing. And this young man came to me later and told me about phrasing. So they were active in the churches.
The university, the Black university.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was the moral code pretty high? Was morality regulated?
Yeah, there were things you didn't do. And there were some things that were done, I guess.
let's see. Did students have any contact with the president of the university? When you were in school, did you know who the president was, or was he visible? Would have been Willard.
Yeah. Well, I heard a lot about him, or heard about him, but I don't remember being... No.
Not a lot of
times. No, not the way it has become now.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no.
How did you get involved in Alpha Kappa Alpha? That was a sorority you joined. Could you talk about that, when you joined it and why? And...
Well, it was the thing to do. I don't remember how I was approached. I don't know where, I know I didn't approach them, because as backward as I was in those days, they had to come to me. And I don't remember who did. I don't remember exactly how that came about. But they had a house over on Stoughton Street, and I remember being near. But I know I wanted to be an AKA. And I didn't do much with the sorority after I finished school, though.
Where was it located?
The sorority.
Uh-huh.
It was on the corner of Stoughton and Goodwin.
Did you live in the house?
No.
No.
No. Well, my mother and quite a few others were members of the patroness board, and that was the house mother, and these women were active with the sorority.
What kinds of things would they do?
Well, for instance, I remember a picture of them with Marian Anderson, and I don't, because I have a copy of it someplace, but they did chaperoning and keys and that sort of thing to help raise money.
Mm-hmm. Did most of the women who lived in the house, were they from out of town?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So most of the local members still lived at home?
Yeah, because, let's see, who else? Bernice Lee, Mr. Lee's daughter, was a member, and she lived at home. No, we didn't live on campus. In fact, one of the advantages of living here was that you didn't have to pay for to live someplace else.
Uh-huh.
So, no, we lived at home.
Did it still cost to belong to the sorority?
Well, they had fees, but not
bad.
You know.
How did the black fraternities and sororities get along with the white fraternities and sororities on campus? Did you intermingle at all?
No. Mm-mm. No, they were quite separated, and the parties and so on were separated.
They weren't part of the Panhellenic or the...
Well, they probably were, but I don't think they were that active with it. I don't remember them being that active.
I wondered if you could tell me how the black students in in the fraternities and sororities were viewed by other black students?
You mean students that were not members of either
of those? Right. Did belonging to Alpha Kappa Alpha elevate your status at all?
Yeah.
Did people aspire to be in the Greek system, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, they did at that time. It was the thing. Yeah, that made you more important, however. It did. And then came the Delta sorority. And that was a little competition there then.
How many were there? How many?
I think there were three. I don't know that third one. I don't know too well. But I think there were three. Mm-hmm. And fraternities, the Alphas and the Kappas and Omegas. There were three of them.
What kinds of things did you do for fun when you were in school?
I had the advantage of living in town, so I was able to attend parties or whatever in town. But the parties on campus were fun. Usually they had spring formals and I remember some of the Kappa parties. They were fun.
Now, are you talking about the fraternity and sorority parties or the university parties? Did you go to any university event?
I remember going in my freshman year. It was one of those things, dances or parties at the beginning of the year when everybody's trying to get acquainted. And the reason I remember that was one of the bright fellows came up and asked me to dance, and that was unheard of pretty much at that time. So I asked him, I said, is this part of a bet? Because I had noticed he was standing with a group of guys, and he said, oh, no. But when he finished dancing, and I enjoyed the dance, and when he finished dancing, he went back to the group, so I knew it was. But it didn't bother me because I liked to dance anyhow, so that part was all right. But I don't remember any too many other things that were held on campus that I went to.
Did you have bands brought in for these events?
My dad had orchestras during that time and before and after. He used students quite a bit to play in his orchestra. He played saxophone. And that was another one of the many things he did to make money. And he also played on campus. And I used to work on some of those were made as maid and cloakroom. That's something they don't do anymore. I'm sure they don't do. They don't even have parties like that, do they? Where they have bands come in and some of them were big bands too. But they played usually the spring formals. And I remember working some of them. But as I say, Dad used some of the musicians, people who could play that were on campus, that were students, and it of course helped them out a lot. Mm-hmm. because that was the only music they had. They didn't have CDs then.
How much time did you spend at the sorority house if you lived at home?
Not much. It was, you know, I was walking to get where I was going at that time.
How far away did you live?
I lived on Ells, which is across the tracks from Abbott. You know where the heating, well, it was across the tracks from that to the west. So I went across the tracks in order to go to school, when I walked to school. And sometimes in snow and sometimes deep snow. So I was sort of even the south part of the campus. But I didn't spend a lot of time there, especially after I was initiated. During initiation, I stayed there. We scared them to death. They sent us out to get something, and we got lost and stayed so long they got they got scared. That's something that happened to us.
As part of your initiation?
Yes. So they were more worried than we were.
What kinds of things did they have you do?
Oh, silly. Go out and get, let's see, what was it? It was something like one of those treasure hunt things. Mm-hmm. We had some things we had to go out and find, get, and bring back. And we got back and they were worried. That was fun.
Were you involved in any other organizations on campus? Student organizations?
Mm-mm. No, sounds like I had a dull life, but it really wasn't. No, I guess you have to realize that we weren't as much a part of things like that at that time as we are and came to be later on. Later on, there were, for instance, we couldn't sit any place we wanted to in the theaters. We had to sit in the balcony. Well, in time, students forced that issue in the same way they did with restaurants. So it was in later years, though. It was not mm-hmm. when I was in school.
Did you?
And I probably wouldn't have been involved if I had been then, because I was too, like I say, I was quiet at that time. I opened up my mouth after that.
Did you feel free to join those organizations, or was it more that you didn't have a desire to, like the Daily Illini, or did you feel like that was open to you?
No. Of course, I probably wouldn't have, but then you just, you knew not to try some things because you didn't want to get your feelings hurt. Mm. So you didn't try it. But as time went on, of course, we did more of it. Mm-hmm. Yelled.
Who were your friends? How did you meet your friends, or where did you meet your friends?
Well, of course, I had friends here in town. And then I wouldn't say that I was close buddies with anybody in particular on campus, as I remember.
So your social group was primarily from the community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you make friends with white students on campus?
I don't remember. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing some of the students that I saw in high school, that were in high school, who ignored me on campus. You know, they didn't want to let people know that they knew me. So, I didn't have any white friends on campus.
How do you think the Depression shaped what students did socially? Did you feel financially constrained? You couldn't do certain things, go to certain things?
Well, not so much that was, mine was dressing. I remember wearing stockings, and I think nylons were just coming out then or something. I remember wearing stockings. They had, if they had a hole in the heel of them, I'd pull the heel up and sew it on top of that. Sew it so you couldn't see the heel of the stocking. But it didn't seem like there was anything much different. I was thinking about that the other day, that I didn't stop to think about those being Depression years when I was in school. I don't know why. I knew it was, but I remember I took a course in home ec, and one of the projects I tried was to, we had to feed the family. My idea was to feed the family for $1 a day. And I did it. But I wouldn't allow anybody else to go to the store. My dad smoked cigars, but he wasn't allowed to go to the store to get. And it helped a lot. It helped us to realize how we were spending our money, too. But we had a store down at the corner, and a grocery, and they didn't, they allowed us, allowed my dad to charge the groceries. So his bill came out to $30 that month. Mm. I was real proud of that, but it didn't last. Because it was close. But I guess the times were a little hard. I know we had some problems with getting food and so on. But I still went to school.
Were there things that you had to do without?
Well, if you hadn't had it, you don't realize you're doing without it. It made me a frugal person, I'd say, because my kids talk about me. My daughter especially talks about me now. Well, Mama, you can afford it. Go ahead and get it. But, you know, I don't always do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kinds of clothes did you wear?
Well, we wore dresses, skirts, and so on. No pants.
No pants.
No. That would have been good in those days. Been cheaper, anyhow. But, and in some cases, the same dress quite often.
We've talked a little bit about this, but could you say again what kind of work you did when you said you had a job when you were a student?
I worked, this one couple, minister, I cleaned their house at least once a week. I think it was on, I'm sure it was on Saturday. And then I also helped my dad. My dad served parties, and I would help him serve parties and so on. So I did help some. Now, some of the other students, worked as waiters in sororities and fraternities. Because they were, and then of course they got their meal.
That was for their meals.
Mm-hmm.
What did some of the women do?
Usually, I guess they must have been able to, you know, to be here, because I don't remember them doing anything. But that was the kind of jobs we had at that time.
How did you get those jobs? Well, your dad's, I'm sure. He gave you that one, but...
Yeah.
Working for the minister.
My mother had worked for him, for them, and then when I started in school, they wanted to help out, so they let me work.
Let's see. Can you tell me how aware of national events you were when you were in school? Things going on outside Champaign-Urbana?
Well, not nearly as much as I am now. I am now, of course, or as I came to be, because I eventually became interested in a lot of different things that went on here and outside. We didn't know as much about things that were going on. You know, maybe radio a bit. Oh, seems awful. But I don't remember being that concerned about things other than around here.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware of the Depression nationally? What was going on?
No, I do remember a woman saying that I knew that said, "Oh, another 20,000. I've lost another 20,000 in the bank." Wasn't mm-hmm. anything to me. Well, that well off, but I don't know. I just don't feel that I was that taken or that deprived with the or the depression. I hadn't had a whole lot before then, so it didn't. I don't know. I got along with what I had.
Did you go through commencement ceremonies?
Yeah, at the university.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that seems funny to me now that they make that. It was important. It was important to me, and especially important to my parents. You know, they had sacrificed for all those 4 years and four or more years, because it took me a while to get out, because I was sick a semester or two, and the pride that they had, you know, and the joy that they had in seeing me, and that I felt in being able to walk across there and get a diploma, and they just almost make fun of it now, don't they? I don't quite see that. I enjoyed seeing my children. Only one of them graduated, and that's the daughter. The boys didn't, but they've gone on to. I always say they got out of the university what they needed and then took off, because mm-hmm. they were in music, so.
Thank you. Right after you graduated, could you find a job?
Well, I got this job in at Newman Hall.
Oh.
And my mother was working there at the time, and I won't say that I was ashamed, because I felt like I needed to be working to help pay my parents back for what, you know, they had sacrificed. But, and the money was pretty good. And so I worked. But then when I got the other job with the Recreation Department of Recreation, of course I was happy with that.
How long did you do? How long were you in
the... I was with the city for 24 years. With the Urban Renewal and Community Development. Recreation and Urban Renewal and Community Development. And then I worked at the Courier in between those times. Newspaper. But I've had pretty good work experience.
Is your husband from Champaign-Urbana?
He was from Tuscola.
Oh, okay.
And he's an upholsterer, or he learned upholstery. And I often say that he would have been a very good student if he could have afforded to go to college. But he was quite talented in other things. He did this table, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
He did a lot of work around the house here.
I guess that is, I've asked you most of my questions. I just wonder if you could talk about Champaign-Urbana and what it was like growing up here. Did you feel discrimination growing up in town?
Yeah, I did. I know one of the things I talk about is the fact that we couldn't take swimming with the swimming classes in high school. And we talked to our parents about it, and they finally got us a class, gave us a class after school. And some of the same things were still going on when my children came along. But I've been able to see change in the, you know, here in Champaign, and I like Champaign. I love living here, and I've never wanted to leave because, well, one of the things that attracts most people, or me anyhow, is the university, because if I want to see an opera, I can go.
Mm-hmm.
And anything like that that I want, we had a very good jazz program here once upon a time. It's going to come back, I hope. But just about anything you want, you can find here in Champaign. And we've had some problems. It was difficult to get some people jobs as clerks in the stores and so on, but a little fight brought that on. So we've been able to do pretty good, I'd say. And there's a chance for good jobs at the university.
The university was a real employer during the
30s. Yeah.
Did a lot of people come to town, like your mother?
Yeah.
Were they down here?
Uh-huh.
When did she come? What?
In probably 1911 or something like that. And there were others, of course, that came too. And the men, sometimes they would come, husband and wife. Her father had died, so. And they would live on campus. And the man would be the porter and the wife would do the cooking. So they were pretty good jobs. And of course it worked out real well for my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to raise two daughters.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Now I feel like I'm talked out.
Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.